Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment of the service. I want you to anoint me with your Holy Spirit. For Father, to open my mouth without you in control would be a very devastating thing. And I do not want to speak my words. I only want to speak Jesus' words. So use me now and bring the thoughts out of my mouth the way you put them in my head, that it'll be the blessing you meant it to be. And when we leave, we'll not be the same, because we saw and we heard Jesus. And thank you for hearing this prayer, because it is prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. You going to put me up? I got a question to ask the congregation. Why do we pray during church service? Do you know that right now, as we are speaking here in the sanctuary, there is a group in the choir room knelt that are kneeling and praying for this service? Why do we pray during church service? Mary, would you come up here, please, if you would? This is Mary Swain, who also happens to be our church clerk. And last week, Mary wasn't in the worship service, and I want to know what's going on. So, Mary, you want to come up? Why weren't you in the worship service last week?
Well, Cordell and I were praying for the service, and it was a wonderful experience. Where I left off, he took up. We could hear, sometimes we could hear children crying, and we prayed that they would be quieted and not be distracting.
That was good.
And we also prayed that no evil spirits would distract people. And we wanted people's attention on the worship service. And it was very wonderful.
You really enjoyed it?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Very blessed.
Hey, well, we appreciate what you did.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, that's Mary. Isn't that neat? By the way, if anybody wants to join the group back there right now, you can get up and go back and join them if you want. It's an incredible experience. But the question still remains, why do we pray during church service? I mean, didn't we pray at the beginning? And you know we're going to pray at the end. And by the way, didn't we pray in the middle? Why are we praying during church service? I want to answer that question for you today, and I want you to hold on to your seats. I want you to look at I just abbreviated these. You should read the whole quote. In case you didn't know, wherever the people of God assemble, what does that say? Wherever the people of God assemble, Satan and his angels are found, ... She goes on to explain that. Then she says, if he can secure his agents, by the way, those agents may be some of us in the sanctuary who know the truth, through them he can come to others who are assembled to worship God in order to do what? Distract and disrupt. Yes. Review and Herald, July 23rd, 1889. Why do we pray during church service? Satan attends every board meeting. Satan attends every business meeting and every committee meeting. And then it goes on to talk about that. Letter C, 14, 1889. Why do we pray during church service? I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Job, the first chapter. Because in some of your mind, you're saying, wait a minute, when we started the church service and then we had our prayer time, I heard Pastor John say, banish Satan and his evil spirits out of this chapel. So doesn't that mean that we're alone? When we come together as a group of believers in Jesus, aren't we free and unhindered from any distraction or disruption? So we can enjoy the service and receive the information that God has given to the chosen servant of that hour to give to the people. Listen what it says. Do you have Job, the first chapter? And we're going to look at verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, it says, came also among them. Now, this is to me mind-boggling. This is in the sanctuary of heaven in which the angels came together with Jesus, and look who showed up. And notice how my King James Version says, among them. So, I may not be able to answer your question to your complete satisfaction, but I think now from Scripture you're comfortable with the fact that yes, when men and women, families, children assemble to worship God, Satan is in their midst wherever he can be brought in by whoever his agents may be that are claiming to believe and know the truth. They're there. In fact, let's see if this was just an anomaly. This was just an anomaly, so let's look at Job 2:1. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And by the way, you know what this was all about, don't you? I hope you really understand, especially the first two chapters of Job, especially, I say, because I admit that the rest of it's kind of confusing, although I'm getting better at understanding all the different conversations. But it's incredible because he came there to say to Jesus, you think these people are worshiping you? Let me have at them and watch. They'll gravel in the dirt and reject you in 2 seconds, God. And folks, I feel really bad that all the Lord could say to him was, well, have you considered Job? How nice it would have been if he could have said, have you considered the whole Paradise Church and every member of it? Yes, yeah, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. We got to have spiritual understanding. He said, have you tried my servant Job? And how I wish that Jesus could have gave him a computer printout of 2,650 million people who he could have tried instead of one person. And so we get insights into what's really going on. And it behooves the people of God to be alerted and understand spiritually what's happening, so we can defend ourselves and protect all of those who walk through the door. Why do we pray during church service? Now, I'm not done yet. If that wasn't enough, get ready. Here we go. Great Controversy 6:18. Satan came also among them, Job 1:6. Here it is. Not to bow before the Eternal King, but to further his malicious designs against the righteous. Now she brings it to our day as she continues with the same object. Satan is in attendance when men assemble for the worship of God. Though hidden from sight, he is working with all diligence to control the minds of the worshipers. Folks, do you understand? This makes me angry. I hope it makes you angry. Did you think you came here free from instruction that you could get the blessing that God had for you without having to fight about it? It makes me angry because the answer comes back, not necessarily. He is working with all diligence to control the minds of the worshipers. Like a skillful general, he does what? Beforehand. How did he do that? Lay plans beforehand? As he sees Peter Neary searching the Scriptures, he takes note of the subject that is to be presented to the people. And then he employs all of his cunning and shrewdness so to control circumstances that what? That the message may not reach the people, at least those whom he is deceiving on that what? Very point. Is anybody getting madder now? Imagine if you came here and God had given me something to say, and I'll guarantee I had no idea, okay, that you needed to hear, which could even be your eternal life, and Satan in advance is planning to be here to distract you somehow, some way, so that you wouldn't receive that special message by God personally through His servant, me. Hate that guy. Sin is evil and wicked and selfish. In fact, look what it says. The one who most needs the warning will be urged into some business transaction which will require his presence, or while by some other means be prevented from hearing the word. I didn't tell Mary. Did you hear say we heard a baby cry and we prayed that the baby didn't cry out at the very moment I or the preacher here said something that was exactly what God wanted you to hear? Why are we praying during church service? As he sees, by some other means he prevented from hearing the words that might prove to him to be a savor of life unto life. It goes on again, Satan sees the Lord's servant's burden because of the spiritual darkness that enshrouds the people, and he hears their earnest prayers for divine grace and power. By the way, mark this. Merlene, did you see this? I knew you'd like this. The prayers, earnest prayers for divine grace and power to break what? Three things. Break what? The spell of indifference, carelessness, and indolence. It says Satan is listening. And is this a praying church? Yes. And we're doing this very thing. By the way, I need to take time. Are you having problems? Are things happening to you? Has it felt at all recently like your whole life was falling apart? All of a sudden a sickness flared up, or one of the family members started acting kooky, or things have happened here in the church lately? Why do you think that is? Satan, because we're praying. And you know what he's saying? You stop doing that and I'll take the heat off of you guys. You go back to being like you were and I'll leave you alone. But you keep this up and I'm going to keep turning the heat up. And of course, in my mind, that isn't going to work. Why? Because the problems you and I are facing in light of the economy and everything else, but also because of our prayer in this church, is putting us in a position to receive a greater miracle from God when He chooses to stand up and defeat Satan and to counteract his power, and we will end up closer to Jesus than had we never started this endeavor to begin with. Did you catch that? This will take us to a whole new level of experience. We can't back down now. But I want you to know Satan is shouting to all of us here, knock it off and I'll calm down. Keep it up and I'll turn up the heat. Of course, my Bible says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And he knows that his time is short. He's already defeated foe. Why in the world would we back down? That's what's going on. When he realizes that there's earnest prayer for divine grace and power to break the spell of indifference, carelessness, and indolence, then with renewed zeal he plies his acts, his arts. He tempts men to indulge appetite or to some other form of self-gratification and thus benumbing their sensibilities so that they... I must have cut off the bottom there. This is terrible. So that they failed to hear the very things which they most needed to learn. Now, folks, this is one quote in succession in which three different times it mentioned fail to hear the very thing which they most needed to hear. Three times, three paragraphs, one section, great controversy, 6:18, 6:19. Why do we pray during church? We're not going to let Satan get away with this. Sooner or later, God's going to say, that's it, Satan. You had your chance, just like with Job. Remember what he said? Okay, go ahead. But you can't take his life. Actually, the first time he said, okay, go ahead, but don't touch his body. The second time he said, oh, you want to continue? You think Job's going to back down? All right, but you can't take his life. And then boils all over Job, boils. By the way, any of you have boils? You experience boils once in a while? How would you like a body full of them? And it says, and what did Job do? He knelt down and worshiped God. Satan well knows that all whom he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of Scripture will be overcome by his attack. Now, I'm mixing two events here, but it's the same quote. And I don't mind recognizing it so you can delineate and get more benefit from this. First of all, we were talking about group prayer and how it excites his anger. Now we're talking about private prayer. Notice that it starts there, folks. That's why our church is so successful at corporate prayer and we have so much prayer going on here because there's a large number of people that are praying and searching their Scriptures daily so that when they come here, they are more equipped, better equipped to fight this mighty general who studies beforehand and plans how to counter what he knows is going to happen in this church. That's why we've got a group today, I think of four, kneeling in that other room praying through the church service. By the way, it is streaming live on the computer. They turned the volume off, but you can see what's going on right now while they're praying so they know exactly where they are in the service. They pray for every single individual that gets up front, whatever part it is, even when the children are up here. By the way, start noticing a change in the behavior of the children during children's story from the past. Okay? Look and see if you don't notice a difference. Why do we pray during church? I think you know now. It's absolutely, positively necessary. And I just am ashamed and sorry to say it took me this long to figure it all out. So I invite you to look, if you would, as I start to close here at 1 Corinthians, where Savannah read our scripture reading, 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 1 and 2. For how are we going to respond to all this? Especially if you're attuned to my observation that I was impressed to share with you that because we're doing this, negative things are happening to us and to me. And by the way, some of them may even be my own fault. But we got to keep praying and we'll get over the hump. And so what do we do I want you to notice what it says here. It says this, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that men be found what? Faithful." Now that first verse is in reference to the one above it. And what Paul is saying is, let the people who check us out recognize verse 23 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, that ye are Christ and Christ is God's. Because we are ministers of Christ and we are stewards of the mystery of God. And then he says this about these stewards of the mystery of God. Look what he says about them. What does he say? One thing. What is it? They must be faithful. They must be faithful. In fact, let's look at this relatively quickly. Three words I want you to look at. Okonomos. Okonomos is the word stewardship. Steward, excuse me, not stewardship. Steward. It means house distributor. It means the manager of the property of another individual. It means the overseer. That's what the word steward means. Every one of us is a steward. Every one of us have been given gifts by God to manage in His behalf. And so notice it says that we're ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Now that Greek word for mystery is mysterion. Mysterion is a secret or a mystery. And I will cover that next week. I'm not talking about the ministry today. Notice a steward of the mysteries of God. I want to know what the mysteries of God are, because if you're a steward, that means you're to manage those mysteries. And we'll cover mysteries next week. But let's drop down to the next word, pistos. Pistos, pistos is trustworthy, faithful. A steward is a manager of the mystery of God, and he must be faithful. Faithful. Doesn't matter about circumstances. Doesn't matter about cultural pressures. He must be faithful, no matter what. Nothing is to interfere with the steward, the house manager, being faithful. So see, now that we understand spiritual warfare, that's what we've been talking about here. Why do we pray during church? We pray during church because Satan is wide awake, had already planned before you arrived what he was going to do while you were here, because he already looked over my shoulder and knew what I was going to preach him. And so well in advance, he planned exactly what he's going to do so that any dewdrop that was going to fall on your precious tongue, which would have enlightened your whole mind, wouldn't be lost. We've got a group back there praying. But we've got to remember that the steward, above all else, must be faithful. Follow through, folks. What does the Seventh-day Adventist Church teach and believe? What does Jesus expect of you? You must be faithful. I don't care what the other person is doing. You know, we heard from our boys all the time, well, everybody else is going to the movies, Dad. I said, I don't care. I don't care about everybody else. I really do, because I'm the minister. I didn't mean that. For me, it's different. Because I do care about every one of your kids just as if they were my own. Everybody else is doing it. You know what? That doesn't matter. You're a steward. You must be faithful. No matter what anybody else is doing, it doesn't matter. Faithful means trustworthy. That no matter what, God can count on you. How about Job, Satan? Did you try him out? Oh yeah, well just let me go at his possessions and he'll curse you to his face. Okay, go ahead, but don't touch his life. And everything was wiped away, folks. Everything. The hardest part to accept was his own children were ripped away from him. All his children were killed. By the way, that means to me that they had deviated from their father's beliefs, and when they were out on their own, they were fair game to Satan. And Job said, "Naked I came in, naked I'll leave, but I'm not going to curse the Lord." And so then Satan shows up again and says, "Hey, let me turn up the heat, man. I touch his body. You wouldn't let me. You watch him fall, man." Okay, but you can't take his life. Of all things, Jenny boils. Can you believe that? Those horrible things boils, full of them. And his wife comes and said, "Curse God and die, you knucklehead. What's the matter with you?" And Job said, he's knelt down in worship. A steward who is faithful no matter what the circumstances, folk, the pressure outside cannot be brought into account in our minds. It's what does the Bible tell us and what does Jesus expect and want from us? By the way, sometimes that's pretty hard. By the way, Lenny, it did convert my Greek. It didn't work. Got to find new software. What Bible example can you give me of a faithful steward? Joseph. And why would I pick Joseph? 17-year-old teenager? Who's the rises to the head steward of the house of the most powerful person in Egypt next to the king. Why? He was the king's personal bodyguard, Pharaoh, responsible for Pharaoh's breath to continue to be breathed on a regular basis. Teenager, hot-blooded, very curious, in some cases ready to break out and experience life. Was he really a faithful steward under all circumstances? How many of us men in this room could have withstood the torture this young man went through day after day? If you read your Bible carefully, day after day. Joseph, Potiphar's gone on another trip. Do you know it says day after day? By the way, I got an opinion. I believe it was 40 days. That number is very prominent in Scripture. 40 days. At what point, gentlemen, in this congregation would you have buckled? By the way, why did I say the most powerful, second to Pharaoh? Can you imagine Potiphar's wife? I want to be like Joseph. And it ain't easy. But he's an example in Scripture of what God expects from us, a people. And this is why we pray on Sabbath during church. Father, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. I want to pray that you help us to rise to the occasion, and I want everyone in the sanctuary, including Peter Neary, to not only be assured but be relieved to know that all our stupidity of the past is nothing to you as long as we come to you now and say we're sorry and we want to start over. You are such a good and merciful God. You're just exactly what we need. And how sad it is we're so hard-hearted and stiff-necked that we haven't seen it that clearly as we do now. And also hear the clarion call to be more faithful than we have been. Please, Father in heaven, Grant us that gift. Grant each person here. Let no one be depressed or discouraged. May they turn their eyes to the cross of Calvary. May they clearly see that You are there for them, that You came to this earth not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give Your life a ransom for many. And there's no other culture in this world that has a God who gave His life for His people except the Christian God, except the God Jesus Christ. And we are so blessed and fortunate. And then when we do foolish things, You don't even hold it against us. When we turn around in sincere faith and ask for sincere forgiveness. Thank You for being that kind of God. So encourage each person now and help our prayers to turn Satan's efforts and defeat them so that we can be free and clear to welcome whoever You bring to this church to get to know You better and love You more without the distractions that Satan is determined to bring under normal circumstances. So here's the Paradise Church, Lord. Here are we, the Paradise people. Now make us more like You. And thank You for hearing, because we ask in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2010, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.